Our first reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 39. And the second reading is from Galatians 4, verses 8 to 9. And I'd like to ask Douglas to come and do the readings.
Some people said to Jesus, "The disciples of John fast frequently and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same. But your disciples eat and drink." Jesus answered, "Do you think you can make the guests at a wedding party go without food as long as the bridegroom is with them? Of course not. But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus also told them this parable. "You don't tear a piece off a new coat to patch up an old coat. If you do, you will have torn the new coat, and the piece of new cloth will not match the old. Nor do you pour new wine into used wineskins, because the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will pour out, and the skins will be ruined. Instead, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins, and you don't want new wine after drinking old wine. The old is better, you say." And then from Galatians. "In the past, you did not know God, and so you were the slaves of beings who are not gods. But now that you know God, or I should say, now that God knows you, how is it you want to turn back to those weak and pitiful ruling spirits? Why do you want to become the slaves all over again?"
"I can't get used to these new wallies. They're hurting my gums," the elderly man protested as I leaned over him and gently placed my stethoscope on his chest. He looked up at my smiling face and asked, "Are they all your own teeth, hen?" The carer was very amused, as was I. "Yes, they are," I replied. "Oh, you're lucky, hen. I can't throw these new wallies." The change in dentures was proving painful for this man. But change can be painful. What changes in our lives have been painful? Losing a job, perhaps, leaving behind a house, retiring, or the painful death of someone we love. Often we don't like change, or we feel threatened by change. But one thing is certain in life, there will be change. In the reading today from Luke's Gospel, Jesus is challenged for changing the ways things were done. He doesn't fast and pray in the usual way. What was the usual way? Fasts were made by Pharisees on Mondays and Thursdays. They often whitened their faces to look pale so that people knew they were fasting. Prayers were offered at midday, 3 o'clock and 6 p.m. And these were often done outside so as many people as possible could see how devout they were. Jesus is told, "The disciples of John fast frequently and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same, but your disciples eat and drink." His accusers didn't like this change. So where did these rules come from, and why are they regarded as so important? There's a wee bit of a history lesson here, but bear with me. When the Jews were carried off into exile by the Babylonian Empire, their temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. The problem was, the temple had always been the place where God was met. So what do you do when it's no longer there? Well, over the years of their captivity, they learned that God could also be met in the 5 books of the Bible. It was at this time that synagogues first appeared, and the people put all their energies into reading the ancient text as a way of meeting God. Israel began to change how it lived and worshipped. I didn't know this, but in the ancient text, there are 613 commandments, 10 of which we know as the Ten Commandments, which are the principles for shared life. But even this number didn't legislate for every event in life, and for a certain group of Jews, that wasn't enough. So over the years, they expanded on the commandments, and boy, did they go to town. Thousands of rules and regulations were introduced, called the oral law. For example, to heal on the Sabbath was considered work, and only if life was in serious danger could healing be performed. So you could put on a bandage, but you couldn't put on ointment. And we know that Jesus flouted this law on numerous occasions. The scribes and the Pharisees all knew about these rules and regulations, and to them they were a matter of life and death. But for the poor people just trying to get by, it was very difficult, and it must have been exasperating, trying and failing to keep these rules. This was the problem. The law had become an end in itself. Jesus had no use for these extra rules and regulations. When it comes to fasting, he tells his disciples to act differently. In the first parable we heard, he says, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them?" People often fasted and prayed that the Messiah would come, and the bridegroom was a symbol used for the Messiah. So Jesus is saying, "My disciples don't need to fast for the Messiah to come. I am here." In the next parable, he says, "No one tears out a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old." When we were first married, Douglas was a teacher and I was a student, and he wore his dad's old tweed jacket. And I resuscitated it by sewing on some leather elbow patches. But I didn't go and buy a new piece of Harris tweed to do the job. In Old Testament times, they didn't have sewing machines, and making garments was intense manual labour, as Bill will testify. I am a quilter. I make quilts. And this parable is often referred to as the patchwork parable. Harriet Powers was born into slavery in the United States of America in 1837. She was emancipated after the American Civil War. My husband gave me the date, 1865. And after emancipation, she worked as a seamstress. Her life changed immeasurably. And she and her husband had a small farm. Now, two of her quilts are in the Smithsonian Museum. Why would they be there? They're known as the Bible quilts because they depict stories from the Bible. She had hand-stitched these using scraps of material as a way of telling the Bible stories. She had found a way of professing her faith in spite of the restrictions in all areas of life for women at this time. These quilts have become known as a sermon in patchwork. I like that. Harriet herself said, "I want to preach the gospel in patchwork to show the Lord my humility." I like that. Now, Jesus makes it clear he's not here to patch up the old ways of the Pharisees. You can't patch their old ways with new, he says. God gave you the Old Testament law, but guess what? The way you're trying to interpret the law isn't working. Jesus said, "I am here to bring something completely new that can't be sewn into the old ways of keeping all the rules." Jesus then goes on to the third parable, which is a similar idea, but it goes a wee bit further. Nobody wants to put new wine into old wineskins. That would ruin the wine. Jesus is saying, "I am bringing some new wine. I need new wineskins to hold it." So the new wine and the new clothes are a picture of the new gospel message that the old ways of keeping the law can't contain. It can't contain the new life Jesus is bringing, a life that serves through celebration and joy. I'll say that again. A life that serves through celebration and joy. He was offering a whole new way of doing ministry, a ministry full of rejoicing and celebration, rather than strict adherence to laws and regulations. Jesus is not saying that fasting and praying aren't important. The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast in those days. He says this in reference to his own crucifixion. I wonder if what we need to hear in these words are not that these things don't have their place, but rather that we must decide ourselves when it is right to pray and fast, not as an end in itself, but to help us engage with the message he brings and make it part of our lives, not simply following instructions laid down by laws just for the sake of it. Because Jesus and following Jesus is not about keeping the rules. His ministry brings celebration and joy. His ministry brings change. We all know the expression, out with the old and in with the new. The great theologian Paul Tillich writes about the concept of new being. He points to St. Paul, the old Pharisee who changed to follow Jesus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. When anyone is joined to Christ, he is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. I wonder what changes of being me might I allow to happen if I am to know more joy and celebration as a Christian? And what ways of being church could we change to reach out to our community? This is a real challenge the church is facing. Just as Jesus didn't throw out everything in the Old Testament, going forward, we have to try and find a balance between the old and the new in an ever-changing world, but in the true knowledge that God's love never changes. The Jesus who spoke about change is still with us as we make this change personally and as a church. The same patient, peaceful, understanding and forgiving Jesus. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen.